bless you. Love you too. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Take your Bible, please, and go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Verse number 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he had said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had done this, or brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What I'd like to do is help you as a church, as an individual, in your efforts in reaching people with the lost, reaching people that are lost. Let's pray. Father, bless our few moments that we have here today, and thank you for your word that gives us instruction, gives us a guide and what to do and what not to do. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless this hour and bless the application of your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In verse number 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now these men, these disciples of Christ, these apostles, they became apostles. Before they were apostles, they were disciples of John the Baptist. They had heard the preaching of John in the wilderness. They had heard John preach repentance. And we still need to preach repentance today. They heard John preach repentance and they got saved, all but one. One was a devil. And they were baptized, and they became disciples of John, and John taught them many things. And then when Jesus appeared, he turned them over to the Lord. He must increase, but I must decrease. And Jesus said unto these men, Peter and Andrew and James and John and so on, he said, Follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, why did Jesus say that? Jesus said it like that because he already knew that those men would understand what he was talking about. Because these men as fishermen, that was their trade. That's what they did. That was their vocation. That's what they did for their bread and butter. And it was something they were well experienced at. That is why when Jesus Christ said one time, get into the boat, go to the other side, I think those men probably disagreed with the Lord on that because perhaps they saw maybe weather patterns that were coming and didn't think it was a good idea to go into the boat. And besides that, they had ministered all day and they were tired and wanted to go home. And so they could read the signs, the signs of the weather and so on, and Jesus constrained them to get into the boat. They knew what they were doing. And so Jesus says, Follow me, and I will make you, you are going to become fishers of men. And what Jesus was saying is if you men will just take the experience and the knowledge and what you've learned from fishing, and you take those principles and you apply it to what I'm going to teach you here about catching men, you'll be able to do that. But you've got to do it as I say. And they didn't understand it all. It was on-the-job training. Amen? But here they are with the Lord, and the people were pressing upon Him to hear the Word of God. Boy, wouldn't it be great if that was happening today. People will stand in line to get the latest CD out, and people will stand in line to go to a sports game, and I'll tell you, there'll be crowds pressing upon for this or that, but to hear the Word of God, they're not doing that today. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. You know, these fishermen, they weren't fishing with a pole. They were fishing with nets. They had to catch more than one fish at a time. They had to catch a lot at a time. I tell you what, they'd have a hard time making money catching one at a time. But these nets that these fishermen used were really an extension of themselves. They were the ones behind the nets. They were the one controlling the nets and so on. It was something that they were using that was an extension of themselves. And here the Bible says that these fishermen were out of the ship at this time and they had to wash their nets. What's the application? If we today as God's people who are following Christ, and Jesus said, I will make you to become fishers of men. And by the way, if you're not actively involved in seeking somebody with the gospel, then do not say you're following Christ because you're a liar. You're not. Jesus didn't make this an option. He said, you follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. This is what he was about. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Did he not? How can we say we're following Christ if we're not fishing for men? We can't. But here they're washing their nets. As I said, the net is the extension of the man. If we're going to catch fish, we've got to have clean nets. What does that mean? I'm talking about the individual Christian. We, as God's people, we need to be living a holy life, a separated life. You know, when Jesus Christ was washing the feet of the apostles, and Peter contested that, said, Lord, you're not washing my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, then you don't have any part a lot with me. And Peter was, wash me all over, Lord. But what was that? What was the meaning of that? He says, well, you're clean. All of you are clean, you know, except for Judas. And he says, what really needs to be done is your feet. You're already washed, you're already cleansed, but the feet. In other words, as we go through our daily lives and we're walking on this journey of Christ and we're running the race and so on, our feet get dirty. And I believe what the Lord was teaching is that we've got to, if you're going to apply it spiritually, we've got to have our lives clean. We've got to have our sins confessed. We've got to be in fellowship with the Lord. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and we can't be double-minded. Our eye must be single. We can't be entangled with the affairs of this life. And really, in the application of that verse, he talked about being a good soldier. A soldier who's warring is not going to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. He doesn't have time to do that. He doesn't have time. He doesn't have the energy. He doesn't have the pull, really, to be giving himself and investing himself in the things and the rubbish of this world. I don't have time for that. I'm on a battle. I've got to be watching the enemy. I've got to be fighting the enemy. I've got to be sharp. I've got to have my armor on. I've got to be paying attention to what I'm doing here, because otherwise I'm going to make myself an open target. I can't be entangled in the affairs of this life. Not as a soldier. Well, not as a fisherman either. The nets have to be washed. Can you imagine throwing over a dirty net over the side of a boat, and you've got all this rubbish and garbage in the net? You know what the fish are going to see that stuff, and they're going to go the other way. They're going to bypass it because they've got all of these things, these obstacles and these foreign objects in the water. They're not going to swim to that kind of stuff. They're going to go around it. They're not going to go into the net. The net is just an extension of us. And if we're going to catch men, we've got to wash our nets. We've got to be living holy lives. You know, there's other applications that the Lord made of this. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, you remember what Jesus said? He said, "You are the salt of the earth." You ever studied salt? You ever looked up the properties of salt and the different things about it? You should do that sometime. I know one thing without even studying it. I know if I eat a lot of salty food, I love pizza, potato chips. You know those salty snacks and things? What happens when you have too much of that? You get thirsty, amen? You've got to have water. If I'm the salt in this world, then when people are around me and when people are observing me and they observe my life and my manner and what kind of a person I am, and when they see Jesus Christ in me, it ought to make them thirsty, amen, for the living water. I've got to have my net washed. And I need to be living a separated life. I can't be like the world. Let's take our Bible, please, and go to Matthew chapter 4. And we'll come back to Luke chapter 5. Let's see what these men did as fishermen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Again, the net is the extension of the person. And I see that they were washing their nets, and now I see they're mending their nets. Can't have broken nets. You can't have a broken life. You can't have a Christian life that is not right with God. You can't have a Christian life where you're not right with your brother in the Lord. Listen, if there's broken relationships, the net needs to be mended. If there's holes in the net, it needs to be repaired. You know, this church, listen, you are members in particular. And if there are some things here that need to be mended among you, you need to take care of that. I remember what Paul wrote. He said, "I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." You're not going to bring people to Jesus Christ if you can't even get along with your brother in the church or your sister. Why would anybody want to come to know who that God is? Where the followers of that God are fighting each other. That's not attractive to me. I don't even like it when I get in a disagreement with my wife. I don't like that. I don't like it when we don't agree on something and you know, there's things that you have to say and you've got to talk it out and you've got to come to an agreement. I don't like not being in fellowship. Have you ever been out of fellowship with your wife or your brother or your sister or a family member or somebody in the church? I'm telling you, that's not good. That's ugly. I think of these two women, Euodias and Syntyche, and I think it was they were in the church at Philippi, if I'm not mistaken. I just happen to think that God being God and Christ being the head and the Holy Spirit being the administrator, and the Spirit that indwells the body. I just happen to have an idea, brother, that the Holy Spirit spoke to those women about that. And I think that the Holy Spirit was trying to get them to be in one accord during the preaching. And they wouldn't do it. And so when it came time for the Holy Spirit to inspire the Word of God, you know what the Holy Spirit had to lead Paul to write to the church at Philippi, which was a letter that was read publicly? And suddenly they're sitting there in the congregation and the preacher mentions their name. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind. And those women just wilted right there in the pew. And if they would have gotten it taken care of 2 or 3 weeks ago or a month ago when the Spirit was speaking to them about it, their names wouldn't have been in the Word of God and it's there forever. God doesn't, you know what? The Bible says that God hates disunity. He hates those who sow discord. He hates it. And I'll tell you what, you are falling to a trap of Satan. When you are letting your personal preferences or your, you know, wearing your feelings on your shirt sleeves, as they say, and when you are just, you've got some bitterness, you've got some beef, you've got some edge about something that you're not willing to let go of, you're not willing to humble yourself, you're not willing to apologize, and you may say, well, Pastor, it's not my fault. Well, you tell me. Of all of the things for which Jesus Christ was nailed to a tree, what was his fault? Not a one. And Jesus says, if you're buffeted for your faults and you take it patiently, so what? But if you be buffeted for doing right, and you suffer, and he used the word suffer for doing right, and you take it patiently, this is well-pleasing with God. You are entering into the fellowship of His sufferings. And maybe there's times it's better just to take the blame and just say, okay, you know what, I'll apologize. Even though I don't believe I was wrong, I believe I did a good thing, but I will humble myself and I will take the blame because I want to be a peacemaker. I'm not going to take that thing and ride it to the nth degree just to prove that I'm right. God knows who's right. And God has a way of sorting out and balancing the books. God knows who's right. Amen? Doesn't the Bible say the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's? I'd rather take a step back and say, okay, Lord, you take care of it. He'll do a better job at it than I would. We're not going to catch fish. You're not going to catch fish. You will be no bigger of a church than you are right now. And all of these seats right here will be empty, and those will be empty. This whole row will remain empty. The whole pew will be empty. You need to mend your nets. Now, I'm not talking about people that are outside the body. I'm talking about people that are in the body. You deal with the body. Amen? Just trying to help you, amen? Nets need to be washed. Our sins need to be confessed. We need to have fellowship with the Lord. And we need to mend our nets. We need to be right with our brother and our sister. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, now the hour of prayer being the ninth hour, Peter and John, two apostles of Christ, went into the temple together to pray. Amen? Brother, you think about those two men. If there were two men who had different personalities and were so different from each other, it would have been those two, Peter and John. Look at Peter. Peter is so aggressive, he's putting his foot in his mouth so much of the time. Now, I admire Peter's spirit, I really do. I admire his wanting to do the right thing. You know, when they came to arrest Jesus Christ and Peter took out that sword, you know, and chopped the man's ear off And I don't think that Peter was aiming for the ear. Peter wasn't a swordsman, he was a fisherman. He wasn't very good. He wouldn't have been one of the three musketeers, I can tell you that. I appreciated his spirit. He wanted to fight and defend his pastor. Amen. Jesus was his pastor. But that wasn't the way to do it. I appreciated his spirit. And Jesus told him, you know, put that away. My train derailed. Huh? Thank you. Amen. And so here's Peter. Here's Peter trying to prove himself and trying to do a good thing, but he's doing a good thing in the wrong way. I mean, that's the kind of man Peter was. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus takes him up to the top of the mountain and transfigures himself, and Jesus shows the glorified Christ. And Peter said, oh, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And let's make three tabernacles. Let's have a building program and a building project. And let's build three buildings up here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Let's have three shrines up here, Lord. And the Bible says, not knowing what he said. Come on, Peter. Caught up in the moment, you know. And then there was John. How does John refer to himself? He was the disciple whom Jesus loved, amen? Have you ever noticed how much John talked about the love of God? How many times does he say the word beloved? Read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. How much he's writing to Gaius or Gaius, however you want to say that. You read how many times in two or three verses he says, the most beloved Gaius, whom I dearly beloved, my beloved. I mean, he's writing to a man. And that wasn't the weird stuff. It was just that here's John. He's more of a sensitive, tender-hearted person. He's probably, you know, his temperament is not the, you know, he walks into the room and you probably don't know he's there. But Peter walks in and, hey, hello, how's it going? You know, very different temperament and personality. And who's the one who denied the Lord? It was Peter. And John also forsook the Lord, but he came back to the cross. Amen. So different. And yet these two men went into the temple to pray together. You know, a sign, if I can say, an indication of whether you're really right with that person that you have a problem with is, can you come into the church of God and pray with them? If you can't pray with that person, you need to mend your net. Amen. If you can't talk to that person, I mean, you see the person coming in the door, so you go out the other door. You won't catch fish. As a church, you won't catch fish. There's fish to be caught. Amen. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, we see the men were mending their nets. The nets are an extension of the person. Look at verse 18, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net, for they were fishers. Well, your net has to be clean, it needs to be mended, but then what are you going to do? You're not going to catch fish if you don't cast the net. You've got to be willing to go out wherever God places you, wherever God finds you. You've got to always be aware of your surroundings and who it is that is in your company or is in your presence. And at any time, you need to be willing to be listening to the Spirit of God, to hear the voice of God, to have the Spirit of God prompt you. And that'll happen if your net's clean. And just like the Holy Spirit said to Philip, Philip, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto desert. Arise and go. And the Bible says that Philip arose and went. He didn't even ask. Lord, where am I going? I mean, what's there? What he didn't ask questions. He just got up and did what he did. Now, if you look at where Peter was, he was in, Philip, if you look where Philip was, he was in Samaria. And if you look at where he needed to go to, he wasn't going to get there in 10 minutes. It was going to take some hours. And here in Samaria, there were people getting saved and people were hearing the truth and a church was started there. And here's the Holy Spirit of God saying, Philip, I want you to leave here and I want you to just go to where I'm sending you. And so he arose and went. And when he got there, the Bible says the Holy Spirit said, Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. You see that chariot over there? Philip, get over there. I want you to join yourself to the chariot, and you better go, buddy, because that's wheels and you're on foot. So the Bible says Peter ran thither with his mither and his fither. That was a joke. Come on. And he got there and he heard a man reading the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Understandest thou what thou readest? Don't you love the King James English? Understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? So he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And here was Philip leaving the what was happening in Samaria to go down to one man. And the Bible says when he got there and he joined himself to the chariot, he preached unto him. One man. Wasn't even a crowd of people, but he preached to one man. And here was Philip. He was sensitive. If I can say, his net was washed. His net was mended. After things that he had done, his net was mended. And when the Spirit spoke to him, he was listening. I can speak from personal experience of what that is like when the Spirit of God will say to me, Scott, go join yourself to that man. You see that man over there? That one. That one wearing the blue shirt. You see that man? Go join yourself to him. I did. I remember one time, this, you know, brother, this was back in 87. When Larry Clayton, I don't know if you know Larry Clayton, he was up in Fargo, and Brother Skeving had just arrived there, and they were starting the Fargo Baptist Church. I was there with Brother Skeving there to help him invite people to church that time. And I remember I was sitting in a, I think it was like a Taco Bell. I had just gotten my food. I had the food on my tray. I went and sat down. I was alone. And right at that time, I'm looking out the window, and a guy is going on his bicycle. Not too fast, but he's on a bicycle just driving by. I just sat down with my food. And the Holy Spirit said, go join yourself to that man on the bike right there, right now. I said, okay, Lord. I left my food there, ran outside, started jogging to catch up with the guy on the bike, lifted up my voice, stopped him. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I just wanted to introduce myself, told him who I was, and said, I wanted to give you an invitation to Fargo Baptist Church that's being started here, and here's the gospel in this tract. It talks about how you can come to know the Lord as your Savior and be saved. I don't remember all of what he said. But I found out from Brother Skeving shortly thereafter that man that I stopped on the bicycle came to church, and Brother Skeving told me that that man ended up getting saved. Praise the Lord. And I don't take any credit for that. The Holy Spirit is the one who prompted me to go. I was just willing to do it. And with the world going to hell and people needing to be saved, would not the Holy Spirit lead or prompt a child of God, somebody, during the day, during the course of a day, to go speak to somebody, even one person? If you're out and about and God places you at the market or in the, you know, wherever you're going during the day on your job, we need to cast the net. And if we don't cast it, we're not going to catch anything. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5. Just a few more things from this chapter and we'll be finished. I appreciate your attention. Verse number 2, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon Peter answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, Peter being a man, I can understand why he's saying that. Now, again, this was his job. And if I can say, he was working a night shift. But you see him here at church. And I thought to myself one day while reading this, what was it that caused Peter to go ahead and say, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net? He didn't want to. Lord, we've been toiling all night. We haven't caught anything. Lord, the fish aren't biting. And Lord, I've been working all night. We've been toiling all the night. And I'm tired. I mean, I came to church and I'm tired now. I want to go home. What caused him to do it? He didn't want to in his flesh. Then the thought came to my mind in verse 3, where the Bible says that Jesus sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, the Bible doesn't say what Jesus taught here. It doesn't say what the preaching was about. But I have an idea that whatever Jesus taught right here, Jesus already knew what was about to happen with the fish and the fishing, and Jesus already knew what he was going to tell Peter to do, and he already knew what the outcome was going to be, and he wanted Peter to experience that. He wanted to show his power to Peter. He wanted to use it as a graphic illustration to drive a point home about this fishing for men kind of a thing. And I believe that whatever Jesus preached that day, that moment in church, it was directly related to Peter, and Peter had just been preached to. The Holy Spirit had taken the word and spoken to him. And so now when Jesus Christ is commanding him and telling him to do something that he didn't want to do in his flesh, he was kind of pushed over the edge to do it, if I could say, because of what he had just heard in church. And how important it is for people to be in church when the doors are open and when the man of God is standing here or here and preaching the truth of the Word of God. God knows what you're going to experience tomorrow on the job. He knows what you're going to go through this week. And God wants you to be armed. He wants you to be equipped. He wants you to have the wisdom. He wants you to have the knowledge and the answer of how to deal with that situation. God knows you may be pressed out of measure this week on something that's going to happen at work. But He wants you to have a godly response. He wants you to show the love of Christ. He wants you to take that opportunity. And you're going to get what you need from the preaching of the Word of God in the house of God. So when that time comes and the Lord knows it's coming, you'll pass the test and you'll give the right response and you won't blow your stack and you won't respond with harsh words that you can't take back and you won't blow your testimony. Or when the Lord says, go join yourself to this one or that one, you're going to be so sensitive and in tune with the Lord, you'll do it and you'll have a good result. Peter did it. He didn't want to. But he did. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude. Do you pay attention to words and adjectives? Every word's inspired, amen. A great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. Hey, come and help us here. We need some help. If you read in the Gospel of John, when James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were with their father, and they left their father in the ship with the hired servants, they hired people to help them with the job of fishing. And here they couldn't get all the fish. Hey, we need some partners. We need some help. Come and help us. You know what, brother? You know what I am? I'm a hired servant. This church has hired me. You're supporting me, amen? You've hired me to help you catch the fish in Africa, because is anybody here going to Africa? You've helped me to catch the fish in Swaziland. Are you going to Swaziland? Well, why not? But I mean, are you called to go? No. Then you need people like me. Because you're called to bring the gospel to every creature. You need people like me. You need people who are going over to Thailand or some other place. You're not going. Well, then you need me. And I need you. We're partners, amen? I can't do it alone, and you can't do it alone. These men had partners. These men had hired servants. And we do. We need them too. He's not the only one who can catch the fish here. Don't expect the preacher to do it all. I don't think that you do. I was blessed by how many people came out to soul winning. Amen. That encouraged me. I mean, you know, this church in number is not a great number. It doesn't have to be great in number. It's just the people that are here have to be surrendered and be willing to be used of God. God can use you little as much when God's in it. Amen. Amen. And then I'll finish with this. The Bible says when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What kept Peter from catching fish that night? I believe the Lord kept Peter from catching a fish, even one. God had this plan. This is a planned thing. And I believe that God, Jesus Christ, was using this, as I said, as an example, as an illustration Peter would never forget. And because Jesus was teaching here, and then he makes the application as, from henceforth, you're going to catch men. Did you get it, Peter? Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? I'm trying to make the application. And what was Jesus trying to say? Peter, you can toil, you can toil, you can toil all night, and you'll catch nothing. But if you'll allow me to enter into your labor, Peter, do it again. You go let down the nets this time, because this time I'm with you. And you're going to do it because I commanded you to do it, and you're going to do it in response to my command, so we'll do this together. You just obey me and watch what will happen. I can't save anybody. I can't convict anybody. I can't work repentance and faith in anybody's heart. I can't save a soul. Only the Lord can. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we are co-laborers together, listen, with God. You know who my business partner is? God. My fishing partner is God. And when He's doing it, and I'm doing it at His command, and I'm acknowledging that, and I'm acknowledging, Lord, I need you. I can't do this. I've I've toiled, and have caught nothing. I need the Lord. I give up. I need the Lord. God, I want to catch fish, and I want to catch a lot of fish. And I want to do it for you. With the one life I have, and it's gone so quickly, I want to see people in heaven that you've used me to share the gospel with. I can't do this through my toiling. I can't do anything spiritual in the power of the flesh. I need the Lord. And they had enclosed a great number of fishes. You know what I think personally? I think in all of Peter's fishing career, I think that there never was a time that Peter had caught so many fish at one time like he did this time, where the boats are sinking. The greatest catch of his life as far as physical fish. You know, if that would have happened at any other time, I could just imagine Peter thinking, oh, wow, guys, look at all these fish. We are going to have a killing at the fish market. Just think of how much money we're going to take in this month. Whoa! With all these fish, we've never caught this many fish before. And you know what they did? They forsook all. They left it all. They didn't even take the time to go get the money from it. They left it for somebody else. Tell you this, you'll never regret forsaking anything in this life that will bring an eternal reward. There's nothing in this life that will compare to the glory that you'll receive at heaven. And when you stand before God and you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, you will be so, so happy and so thankful, and you'll not regret that you forsook the things of this earthly temporal life that will be burned up one day and will amount to nothing, and you forsook all of that, whether it's an earthly, you know, a career, a goal, whatever you forsake, for heaven's sake, will be rewarded. And I'd rather have my reward up there than I would down here. I'd rather have my treasures laid up in heaven there than have them down here. Peter learned that day. And if we'll take what Peter learned and apply it to us, it'll make a big difference when we give the gospel to somebody. You know, if Peter would have gone home that night, he would have been one cast away from all those fish. And the Holy Spirit tells you to go witness to this one or that one, and you just don't do it because you don't feel like it, you could be one cast away from catching a fish. Amen. And what one fish that you catch could be used. Amen. Well, I'm finished. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the truth of the Word of God and for the lessons that are there to learn and to be transformed by. Father, I want to pray that you'll use this church to make a big impact in this community. And Father, if these church members are going to be used of the Lord, they've got to have their nets washed. We've got to have a relationship with the Lord that is one of walking with God and having our sins confessed. And Father, we've got to have our nets mended. We've got to be in fellowship one with the other. We can't have broken nets and broken relationships in the church and fighting and fussing. And Father, they need to cast their nets. And Father, as we just read, we need to draw the net. Bring the saved ones to the house of God and see them baptized and see them grow in the Lord. Thank you for lessons that we can learn from your word today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.